Joel Gordon, the offensive coordinator, yesterday about, a half dozen times, referred to camp as real football. All the offseason talk, right, is just offseason talk.
Yes.
It's time for real football. Today, Auburn opens preseason camp, the first practice of the year. Real football is here, Zach Blackerby.
Yes, I keep wanting to call him Commissioner Gordon because I think that's from Batman.
Is that right?
Is. Yeah.
Yep.
I did that so twice good. Yesterday.
That's amazing.
I did it on purpose today. But no, I think I love the way he talked about, like, all right, camp's real football, and like really kind of downplayed everything they did over the summer. It's like,
right.
Yeah, no, they worked really hard, but like, it's not real football.
Which,
okay, Commissioner, we get it.
I got to tell you, that goes over really well with the fan base, because every time we've said anything positive over the last 6 months or so, the response has been, yeah, well, whatever. I'm not excited yet. We're gonna wait and see how things go. And it feels like that's kind of tongue in cheek, because we said the coaching staff is saying the same thing. They understand that this is now what it's about.
Right.
And you saw a little gleam in the eye of the head coach yesterday, right? Alex Golish, you could tell the juices were flowing a little differently with the head coach yesterday. There was just something a little like, this is preseason Alex Golish now. This is, it's football time Alex Golish we saw yesterday.
Yeah. And I do think there was a theme yesterday to me across at least the first two coaches. I don't know if Durkin really said anything, which is fine. That's him. And
he's kind of who he is.
Like, yeah. Do whatever you want to do, DJ. But I do think there was a theme of like loving football and wanting to be out there. And that's one of the things we heard about Golish early on, is like, if you don't love football, you're probably going to hate playing for him. I think he's actually even said that a few times. If you don't want to work hard and you don't want to like live and breathe this, like, this probably isn't the place for you. He's talked about that. And the way he talked about Omar Mabson and Stanton Ramil.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was pretty interesting, especially like with Gordon and Golish. Whenever they were asked, either of them were actually asked about Omar, but they both found like ways to get to him very quickly.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, he's physically gifted. He's super strong. He's been putting in the work. He really loves Auburn and then other things, and like, or he really loves this place.
Yeah.
They didn't do that with anybody else.
Like, no.
It was really important that the bullet point under Omar Mabson was he also loves Auburn a ton. And I don't really know what to do with that. But it was intentional. The fact that they both did it, I thought was pretty interesting.
I don't want to be too dramatic with this because, as you know, that's not my style.
No, let's be dramatic as possible, please.
But I mean, Zach, you've worked with people who are passionate about what they do. They're different. They're different when they have a passion and a love for the thing they do, and they're not just showing up to do a job. And when they're passionate about not just what they do, but the place in which they do it. I was at a thing Monday where we talked about leadership and extreme ownership and believing in the mission and having a passion for the mission. If you've got that, so much of the rest of the stuff is going to take care of itself. If you just start, all right, if you really care about this, chances are, you're going to put in whatever effort is asked of you, whatever is required to excel, to do it well. So I think that's important and not just interesting that a guy not just care about being a part of a team or doing a job, but he cares about the place that he's doing it. And I think fans respond to that. And I think it actually affects what you do on the field.
Is Omar RB2 right now?
Yes. I think clearly what I took from Alex Golish and Joel Gordon yesterday was that it's Cobb and Mabson. And then to get to the other 3.5 or 4, depending on which coach is talking, you're going to go after those two because they both just glowed so much about Omar. And then Commissioner Gordon talking about Jeremiah Cobb. And the way that he's changed his body and the way that he's changed his leadership. I thought Gordon was especially interesting because he worked in a leadership component to every player that he talked about specifically, whether it was Stanton Ramil in the offensive line or Jeremiah Cobb. Jeremiah has been, he's not been a talker. He's been a, like, he's going to be in a shell. He's going to do his job. You know,
they love saying how much Cobb does not talk to. Right. They love talking about how, like, have y'all ever heard Jeremiah like say a word? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he loves it, but yeah, I've heard him talk before.
But he's doing more of that. And he embraced the, like, he's a guy who ran for nearly 1,000 yards a year ago. And then, but like,
Commissioner Gordon gave him 1,000 yards yesterday. It's like, he ran for 1,000 yards in the SEC. I'm like, am I going to, no? Okay. That's fine. We'll give it, no. We'll round up. I'm cool with it.
He's rushed for 1,000 in his career, but almost last year. Yeah, not quite all last year. But, like, he's added size. He's added some bulk. And he's a guy who kind of steadily got here at 191, was at 196 his sophomore year, right around 200 last year. If he's up in the 205, 210 range now, I mean, it's going to increase his durability. They clearly want him to be the number one guy. Yeah, I think it's a real long way to say. Yeah, I think clearly it's Cobb and Mabson 1 and 2 going into the camp.
And the way they talked about Mabson, one, I love the bar that he dropped of he's on a mission to win a job. Loved that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also love that, like, the way he's played is really, like, put pressure and changed the running back room. Yeah. Which, to me, I'm going to translate to he beat Bryson Washington and Nekai Davenport out for the RB2 job. That's how I would translate that.
I think that's a fair translation. I mean, I think that's reasonable. And it continued, like, last year, you were very early on the Omar Mabson bandwagon. I wanted to be a little more cautious last year because you just had more guys. You started the season with more seasoned players at the spot. And I guess even now there are more seasoned players at the spot. But this is right in line with everything you've ever heard about Omar. And also kind of was a little hesitant because, like, all right, he's from Auburn High School, so he's local and people are going to give him a few more flowers because he's local. And that, I don't think that has anything to do with it now that we've seen him in the program for a year plus. I think
it might help how much he loves the place to refer back to what Golish said. He really loves this place.
Yeah.
It might fuel some of that, the localness, but mm-hmm. And there are people that love Auburn that live in Montgomery or in Birmingham or in Huntsville or in, you know, Mobile. So,
well, and there are also people who went to Auburn High School that, you know, probably don't have the same level of passion that Omar does about Auburn University.
I mean, there are people that go to Auburn High School that get Auburn University tattooed on them and they don't even go to Auburn
and then don't go there. Yeah. It's interesting. Remind yourself of choices you didn't make for the rest of your life. But I go back to this story about Omar Mabson. So I mentioned this last year. At the time, I was in my son's 7th grade football meeting, and the coach was going through his speech about how bodies are going to change, like, even to this time next year when they're in 8th grade and 9th grade. Never are the best players on the 7th grade team the best players as seniors. Except I've had one. This guy said, like, I've been doing this 15-plus years. I've only had one player ever who was just the best player on the field every single year that he played football. And that was Omar Mabson.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some really good players that have come through the Auburn system.
Yeah.
And Omar is that guy. So I think that speaks to his talent, speaks to his work ethic. And
that kid reclassing and then just singing him. Like, man.
Yeah.
That is a physical phenom.
Yeah.
Like, this kid's supposed to be in high school still?
Yeah, he's supposed to be going into his freshman year of college right now.
Yeah.
And instead, he's got real game action. He's got another spring. He's got another summer.
I think he's made for this offense, especially with, like, especially with them prioritizing their first big, like, running back signing is Mycen Johnson Cook. Like, if that's what they want.
Yep. You got a blueprint. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, Mycen's a little stockier than Omar, but, like, they're both just, like, powerful physical backs that'll take it to you. So
yeah,
it's awesome.
Yep. That's why I put it as a bullet point for today. Cause I thought now you have separation. I think that's what you expect against Baylor, provided both are healthy throughout fall camp. I think it's Cobb and Mabson leading the way.
I just want to say, Baylor. I did a show earlier this week and I led off with bold predictions. And my first one was Omar would be the story of camp.
Yeah.
That take is aging well.
Right? Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, it's aging very well. Speaking
there,
of
there was age, a moment. Yes. Can I do the tease? Do you mind?
Yeah, no, go for it.
There was a moment in the presser yesterday where my heart stopped. I want to talk about that in a second.
All right. Speaking of aging well, if you want your money to age well into retirement, you got to call Zach. Zach's just sitting around looking for stuff to do. So he's like, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get involved with Ford Stokes and Active Wealth Management.
Man, yeah, Ford you get directly on Ford's calendar. Yeah. You can go to calendly.com/Ford Stokes. You can talk to him about managing your money or, of course, retirement income. You can come to me for retirement income as well. They set me up one too, calendly.com/Zach Blackerby.
Oh,
there you go.
How is there any space available on your calendar?
Don't know.
Where are you going to find it?
We'll always find it. No, we've we've got a seminar tomorrow that is filled out. And so we still have some room for a seminar on Tuesday. Two Village Vice listeners reached out yesterday wanting information about Tuesday's seminar. So we've got a few spots left for Tuesday, but tomorrow and Thursdays is registered out, which is absolutely awesome. Can't wait to help folks navigate this next part of their life. But head over to calendly.com/Ford Stokes or calendly.com/Zach Blackerby to book some time with either of us. And you can email us directly. You can email me directly, Zach@activewealth.com for any questions about the upcoming seminars, or if you just want to schedule a free consultation or whatever it could be, we'd love to help serve you.
They got some annuity products right now that are like 26% to 31% deposit bonuses. They're just ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous. There's one that's absolutely insane. So we'd love to help make your money work for you, not just for a little bit, but for the rest of your life.
That's right. It's important. Okay, so what caused you some consternation for a few minutes yesterday?
So when DJ Durkin was asked about the corners, and I was just thinking, what if he came out and was like, Gavin Jenkins has been unbelievable. He didn't though. For a moment I was like, if DJ Durkin was asked about a position room, he said, yeah, we can only play, you know, two of them at a time.
Yeah.
And we got more than two guys. So those are decisions we're going to have to make.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So
they're going to move some pieces around, cross train some guys. They're going to do a lot of movement, he said, in preseason camp. But now here's what you also have to know about DJ Durkin. He doesn't answer general questions specifically. So if you ask him about a room, he's going to speak very generically about the room.
Yeah, and he's not going to say one player name.
Right. If you ask him about a player, he'll still speak pretty generically, but he will speak about that player. But like we said at the top of the show, he plays things close to the vest. It's just not his style. Doesn't have anything to do with his style as a coach. But with media, he just doesn't give you as much, maybe candid, as the other guys that were in front of the microphone yesterday.
Yeah, right.
I did think, though, when he was asked about Jared Smith, that his answer was important.
I think that was the best answer that Durkin gave. You know, obviously, you can tell when Jared Smith comes in, his length stands out, his size. Talked about how he can bend really, really well when it comes to rushing the passer.
Yep.
And then went into a little bit of how he was a situational guy last year, and now it's on him to take that step to be an every down player, which, I mean, all that stuff we knew, but it does obviously mean more coming from DJ Durkin than it does from the 30 times we've said that this summer.
Did he say it's on him to do that? Because this is a really important distinction. that it's on him to take that next step, or that he has taken it?
Let me go to my notes.
You're going to go to your transcript? Because I thought he said he had taken that next step. He's a dynamic pass rusher, and he's taken that next step.
I have written down, paraphrase, was situational, and now he's got to be an every down player. So maybe he didn't say on him, but I think he said now he has to be.
Okay. All right.
So I guess that could be, that could go either way, actually.
It sure could. It could be right on the seesaw now. So I'm not sure which way.
Are you a seesaw guy?
I've never been a big seesaw guy. I thought seesaw was the most overrated piece of playground equipment.
Seesaw, you really got to trust the other person that you're with, because they'll just like get up and go, and then you're just you're in the dirt.
And you fall real hard. And even when it goes well, what are you like? It was never that fun. Even if you had somebody you could trust, and if you had a really good partner on the seesaw, so what? It's not that fun. So,
yeah. All right.
Yeah. So I guess we'll amend this and say, if he meant by that, he has taken that next step. I mean, it's a difference in a game, I think, in your win-loss total.
It could be.
Because it means you can rush the passer effectively, consistently.
It could be. I mean, I think I've been pretty consistent. That's my biggest concern.
Right.
Defensively.
And there's only so much of that.
It impacts so much. Like, obviously, it impacts opposing quarterback play, but you and I have talked about it. Like, third down defensively was not good last year. And
the scheme puts pressure on corners. You could talk about this more in depth because you just talk football a little more kind of smoothly, but the X's and O's part of it. But you're asking a lot of your corners, especially in third down and long situations in this defense. And so, you know, if you cut down that quarterback's decision-making time to just a second or two, you give your corners much more of an advantage in those spots.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, they like to cause a lot of chaos in the front seven, which is awesome, and it works. Yeah. But when you put your corners on islands consistently, like, it's just an impossible situation sometimes. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see if they change that at all. And maybe there's a chance they did that because they felt really good about their corners the first few years DJ was here.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the high end of the corner room is not as high this year as it has been in previous years with Jay Crawford and Kay and Lee.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. We're hearing really good things about Dre. Gavin Jenkins is an NFL corner per Alex Golish. And I think Rayshon Pleasant's pretty good. So,
yeah.
That take may not be good. That take may not age well, which I hope it doesn't. That'd be great.
Compare the opposing. I'm putting you on the spot with this.
Come on.
Compare the potency of the offenses Auburn is facing this year with what it faced last year.
The potency of offense?
Yeah, the potency of the opposing offenses. So, like, when you face Vanderbilt.
I gotcha.
That's different than it was a year ago. You still play in Arkansas. You got Ole Miss and LSU on the schedule. Oklahoma, A&M are off the schedule. So the ask for that defense compared to what it was a year ago.
Probably higher. I think Baylor will be better this year offensively than last year. I just think DJ has more upside than Sawyer.
Interesting. Oh, that's really interesting, especially in the passing game.
I haven't looked enough at Baylor, though, to know, like, what all they lost. I think they lost that receiver that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost their running back.
They lost their tight end, too. That was a matchup.
That's true.
Big
that's
problem.
True. So that's actually probably not true, what I just said. I do like I like DJ Lagway, though.
Yeah.
Everybody's, like, kind of talking about how he, like, because he failed at Florida, that he's a bum. And I don't think he's a bum.
Right.
At least traits-wise, there's a chance it doesn't work. But I like his traits a ton.
I don't know that I love him so much in the passing game more than Robertson, but I mean, who knows? In an opener, too, there's.
Well, I mean, if you're Baylor, like, why even put him in that situation? But that's probably true. That's probably true. I'm trying to pull up 16. Okay. Oh, okay. Here we go. All right. So Baylor, Ball State, South Alabama, at Oklahoma versus Florida. Like, I'd probably say Oklahoma last year was a better offense than Florida this year, but I mean, we just don't know. Yeah. We don't know who Florida's quarterback is.
Right.
And then the John Mateer Heisman buzz at that point was insane.
Yeah. Even though it was just his third game. But yes, he was more third game at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. But he had his same offensive coordinator, and there was a ton of buzz. You're right. So I would go Oklahoma there.
At A&M last year versus Vandy this year.
At A&M.
Yep. Georgia last year. At Tennessee this year. I would say Georgia last year.
Agreed.
Last year versus Mizzou at Georgia this year. I would say at Georgia this year.
Agreed. So that's the first time that we're saying this year's ask of the defense is tougher.
At Arkansas last year, LSU at home this year. LSU at home this year.
Yep.
Kentucky at home last year, at Ole Miss this year, at Ole Miss this year.
Yep. Agreed.
Man, Kentucky only scored 10 points on us last year. I bet we won that game.
Zach, what are you doing?
At Vandy last year, hosting Arkansas this year.
Vandy last year.
Then it's Mercer and State. And then I was doing it by like conference or P4 games, but we have one more P4 game this year. So, and then Bama last year versus Bama this year. I'm going to assume Bama's offense last year is better than Bama's offense this year. Yeah, but
I agree.
I mean, Keelan Russell might be great. He's not great yet. But
yeah. I mean, Ty Simpson's an NFL quarterback, right?
First round pick.
So,
have you seen some of the lowlights of him out of camp, though?
No, I haven't. Is he struggling in camp?
He's leaving the pocket a ton. And it's like, you don't need to do that. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's training camp. They're not going to hit you. Throw the ball.
The disdain. I love the disdain. Throw the ball. Just throw it.
That's why they took you.
Gosh. How many times did we?
I mean, they were in a championship window. I would be so mad. I would be so mad if I was them.
Yeah.
Like, you've got maybe 1 year left on your window, and you use your first round pick on a backup quarterback.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just thinking about the phrase throw the ball and how many times we said that last year watching Auburn. Throw it.
I still can't believe that Auburn continued just to trot out Jackson Arnold next to Hugh Freeze in postgame. I think about that way more than I should.
You want to talk about that on the post show?
Sure.
Okay.
I've actually got some good stuff on that, so yes.
Okay. All right. Great. Like one last purge before we get to real football. By the way, for the timing of this, like when this show is released,
we're at practice.
So the timing is just a little, you know, you just got to give us some grace on that. But that's the way
it's still big picture combo. Like it's still relevant. It's just not.
That's right.
It's not a practice recap, but we'll do that.
Correct. Correct. So, all right. Please subscribe if you're not subscribed. If you are subscribed, we would ask you to consider joining, becoming a member. We're giving you more and more members content all the time. More free content. Don't forget the stream is always live 24/7 with Top Button, Afternoon Delight, Barnes Social Hour, Landing on the Plains, Chandler Wooten's show.
You can see the pressers that are happening throughout fall camp. We're putting those in the programming on the Barn 24/7 live stream.
Yeah. So go to the channel there on YouTube. If you're audio only, check that out on YouTube. However you get the show, we appreciate you being a part of it. Please do remember that everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.